Let's stay in the war zone but shift to Ukraine. Because what happened overnight on the Russian side of this conflict is worth examining in detail. Ukrainian drones struck refineries and tankers in a coordinated campaign across Russian territory. Separately, Ukraine hit a Russian microchip production facility and an explosives factory. The breadth of targeting here, energy infrastructure, industrial production, chip manufacturing, suggests a deliberate strategic logic of attacking Russia's ability to sustain its war economy.
The microchip plant targeting is particularly significant. Russia has been struggling with semiconductor access since Western sanctions took effect in 2022, and it has been working to build domestic production capacity. Hitting that capacity directly extends the effectiveness of the sanctions regime. It's not just a military strike, it's an industrial warfare move that degrades Russia's ability to produce the guidance systems and communications equipment that modern warfare depends on.
And then there's the policy statement that accompanied these strikes. Ukraine announced it no longer considers itself bound by any approval requirement for deep strikes on Russian territory. This is a formalization of something that had already been happening in practice. Western allies had been gradually loosening restrictions on what weapons could be used against what targets. But putting it in declarative terms changes the diplomatic landscape. It signals that Ukraine views itself as having received a de facto green light, even if no Western capital has said so explicitly.
This matters for the NATO summit context we just discussed, because it puts European allies in an interesting position. When Stubbs says Ukraine has already won, and Ukraine is simultaneously striking deeper and deeper into Russian industrial infrastructure, the question becomes, what does settlement actually look like? Russia cannot accept a peace deal that leaves Ukraine with long-range strike capability pointed at its industrial heartland. Ukraine cannot accept a deal that leaves Russia in occupation of Ukrainian territory. The gap between those positions is enormous.
U.S.-Canada charges against 37 individuals in Operation Hardball also connect to this broader picture of the Russia-aligned threat environment. Those charges targeted three transnational criminal networks tied to the 2023 assassination of Sikh leader Hardeep Singh Nijjar in British Columbia. Indian intelligence services have been linked to that killing. But the networks involved reportedly have overlapping connections to Russian intelligence operations targeting diaspora communities in North America. It's a reminder that the conflict is not contained to Ukraine's borders.
One number that anchors this entire discussion. S&P futures are down 0.85% this morning, sitting at 7,487. And a meaningful portion of that decline is directly attributable to the overnight Iran escalation and its implications for energy prices. Markets are trying to price the risk of a wider Middle East conflict simultaneously with an intensifying European war. And those two risk factors are compounding rather than diversifying.